Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Welcome. So good to have you at Our City Church. Not gonna lie to you guys, I was a little worried after my first sermon that Pastor Mindy and Pastor Rich might have had second thoughts about asking me to preach again, but they did. And so as I sat down and prayed and tried to discern what this message needed to be on, I took time to just reflect on the last few weeks in our Change series. And I don't know if you remember, the Change series was really long and it was really, really good. But the first 3 weeks of our Change series, the preaching was so good. The worship was so good. But yet we were feeling in the spirit there was a resistance, like we couldn't push in all the way. And I even remember at one point, Mindy came up on stage and asked, can you feel that? Can you feel the spiritual wall that we're coming up against? And in my spirit, he reminded me of the story of Jericho. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story of Jericho, that's okay. I'm going to give you just a flyby version real quick. So God's people, the Israelites, were enslaved in Egypt, and he brings them out of slavery, and he has them wander through the desert for 40 years as they make their way to the promised land. It's been 40 years in the making. They're ready. But as they're about to cross into the promised land, the first city that they come up against is named Jericho. And Jericho was known for its high walls that went all around the city. And when the people thought, we don't know how we're going to go into the land if there's this wall, God told them, I'm gonna have you walk around that wall. For 6 days, one time a day, you are gonna walk around that wall and you're not gonna say a word. But on the seventh day, you're going to march around the wall 7 times, and the walls are going to fall down flat. And they did, just as the Lord had said. And church, did we not see some walls fall and some chains break in that Change series? I knew when God told me that this was a Jericho moment, what he meant is that even though it may feel like there's no movement, the Spirit is moving and he is working and he is preparing the hearts for the right time, and he did. We saw great change, and just like the Israelites as a church, we received breakthroughs and victories. So in remembering the Jericho revelation, my spirit had a question, and that was, after the walls come down, what's next? Well, the next thing for the Israelites is that they had to go into the land. And I believe, as a unified body of believers, the church as a whole spiritually, the Lord has just brought down some walls, and he's setting us loose into the land. He's setting us loose into our city. Just as he told the Israelites to go in and possess the land that I have given you, he is saying to us, I want you to go into the land, into your city, and walk in the freedom that I have purchased for you. And isn't that beautiful how the Lord tied that revelation of Jericho straight into the renaming of Our City Church and our mission to love Louisville to life? It's good. The Lord is so good. So as we talk about our what's next, the first what's next for us to do is to arise and to receive. I want to bring up Joshua, the story of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 2. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, say giving, to the people of Israel. I know in my heart that every single one of you has a calling on your life. God has given you gifts, and he has given you influence in certain places. A calling is not just for the people that have it all together, the people you think have it all together. If you look in the Bible, almost every single person that God calls, in the beginning of the story, they're a mess. But what God does is he calls people higher. He says, there's something that I have put in you that you don't even see yourself yet. But if you will just trust me and just say yes. And that's what happens after they accept the mission. They do it scared. They don't believe in themselves at first. And they're not really sure about their faith in God and what he's saying just yet. But they accept the mission. They see God's work. And that is what changes them. Did they still mess up? Yes, they did. While Jesus was on the way to the cross, Peter goes and chops somebody's ear off. Like God, Jesus doesn't have enough to deal with at the moment. But that's still the person that Jesus goes to after everything. And he says to him, go feed my lambs. We rise to the level of expectation that we are called to. And listen, God has a great expectation on your life, but it may not seem like what you think it is. His great expectation is that you love him. If you focus on that, out of love will flow trust. And out of trust will flow loyalty. If you've ever looked up to someone or ever someone showed you like a really grand gesture of love, you want to do something back for them. You want to show your appreciation and give them back the love that they've shown you. When I graduated high school in 2010, I got a laptop, and I loved that laptop, and I carried it everywhere. And I loved that thing for about 9 years. And in that 9 years, I had left it on for a long period of time without using it. I just had it in sleep mode, and the battery started to expand and about to explode, and my husband had to take it outside so it didn't explode inside the house. And so then he changed the battery for me, but there was still like a dent in the bottom of the laptop. I still carried it around after that. And then there was a point where it stopped working unless it was plugged in. It wouldn't hold a charge. So everywhere I went, I would have to plug it in and have the rubber bottom falling off and the bent, but I'd still use it. And one day, my friend texted me and she said, are you home? I have a gift for you. I said, yeah, just random day. Okay. She comes over, I open it up, and it is a new laptop. And there is no way to adequately thank somebody for such a generous gift other than just to use it well. So when I tell you to arise and to receive, I'm telling you, use the gifts that you have been given to expand the kingdom. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, the next verse. It says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And I'd like to keep that verse on the screen for a little bit here. So you may have heard the term anointing before. I mean, it's a churchy word, and we get it from the Bible, and it was a ritual that they used in the Bible where they would take some oil and some spices, and they would mark things that would be a bridge between heaven and earth. They would mark people and places as bridges and dedicate them to the Lord. Just like you may have heard of the story of Jacob's ladder. He falls asleep in the middle of the desert, and he has this dream where he sees a ladder coming from heaven to earth, and he's seen angels going up and down the ladder. And so when he wakes up, he takes an ordinary rock, he sets it up as a pillar, and he anoints it as this is a place where God's spirit dwells. Or like when the Israelites built the tabernacle, it was a normal tent that they dedicated to the Lord, and they marked it with the anointing oil. So now that you know the background of anointing, keep that in mind. So at the beginning of the month, it was September 4th, we had prayer meeting here at the church. And as we were praying, the Spirit was giving me a vision of a thick layer of oil covering the entire floor of the church. And I knew that every person that would be in this church would be soaking in that anointing. And I was so excited. Every single person was going to be soaking in that anointing. But then September 8th happened, and we renamed our church. And when they cast the vision for going out into the city and loving Louisville to life, I got a fuller revelation of what that vision meant. You see, as we go out these doors, and we all go to various places throughout Louisville, we're going all over the place. We're going home. We're going stores. We're going to ball fields. Guys, everywhere that we go, we're going to be leaving oily, anointed footprints all over the city. We are going to be claiming every place that the sole of your foot treads upon. We're marking that as holy to the Lord. So our next what's next is that you have to walk. Because he will give you authority and he's giving you a favor wherever you go in his name. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon. But one of our biggest battles that we are going to have to face is the battlefield of our mind. Do not downplay or compare your assignment or your gifts to somebody else. There are some of you out there who are gifted to never meet a stranger, and you are going to spread seeds far and wide. You all are super spreaders to the glory of God. So please, yes, keep going to the grocery store and inviting them to church, Michelle. You know, she told me a story just yesterday that she does not normally go to the grocery store that she happened to go to the other day. And there was a disgruntled employee. And for some reason, when she gets up to the counter, this employee starts telling her, "I'm sorry, I'm just having a really rough week. I've had a really hard day." And Michelle invites her to church. That's a divine appointment. You keep doing that. Please keep making friends in the carpool line. Please keep making friends at the ball field. Please keep praying for the workers at the stores. God has given you favor with strangers that not all of us have. And if you're a quiet person, God is using you too. Your character will always be your biggest testimony. I want to tell you all a story about my husband, Caleb. He is a quiet person, and in his job, he doesn't get to interact with very many people. He's a boiler mechanic. He's usually stuck inside of a boiler, but he was playing his music the other day, and the song Yeshua by Jesus Culture comes on, and then he takes a break. He goes out for a while, and he comes back, and the same song is on, but this time it's in Spanish. Just so happens, right? And he said, "Okay, God, what are you doing?" And it just so happened that somebody who's not always there at the shop was in there that day. His name is Ramon. He's a Hispanic man. And Caleb took that opportunity to go up to him and start a conversation with him. And he said, "There was, you know, the conversation was a little hard. We did hand gestures and some broken sentences." But he eventually asked Ramon, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm good. So they continue for just a little bit longer, and Caleb says, "All right, well, I'll see you around." And Ramon stops in, says, "Hold on." And he gets out his phone, and he uses Google Translate, speaks into the phone, gives it to Caleb, and it says, "I've noticed you before, and I can see the Spirit on you. You don't have to have a megaphone. You don't have to have a speaker. You don't have to be the person that's making friends with everybody. You watch how the Holy Spirit will have the right people notice you at the right time. You watch how the Holy Spirit works, and those people who have always been closed off to hearing what you had to say, they're going through a rough time, and they're looking to you. They're asking for your opinion on things. It'll be your coworkers, your friends, your families. They will seek you out." Sometimes we're called to sow seeds, and in some areas we are called to cultivate them. And that is a long, slow, deep process, but not one of those is more important than the other. You may have been frustrated because you feel limited by the demands of your season. You're taking care of an aging parent, you're chasing babies, or you've received a diagnosis that'll change your life. But even in these places, holy work is happening. You don't know the relationship that the Lord is reconciling between you and your parent when you're taking care of them, or how loving your children well will set them on a different course for their life. And I've heard so many amazing stories where these people let God use their diagnosis for his glory. They've translated versions of the Bible when they've been bedridden. They've done handwritten notes to children in schools who need to know that they're loved. Anywhere that God has put you is your mission field. God keeps revealing to me that holy work is most often, it feels very ordinary. But listen, when the Lord brings someone to mind, and then they bring them up again, and they bring them up again, that's the Lord talking to you. And you send that text, and they'll say, I really needed that. Thank you. When you notice that that person across the counter has a sad look on their face, tears in their eyes, and you just say, like, are you doing okay? And they start breaking down and crying, and you reach across that counter and you start praying for them. That's the Lord. That's holy work. It feels super ordinary, but it is huge. When you hug that kid and you don't know what they're going home to, it's holy work. So don't chase sensation as an indicator of God being in something. He is the God of the harvest. And anyone who has ever grown anything can tell you that it takes investment, time, and hard work to get to the harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So my last what's next is we have to keep walking forward. You have to know that setbacks are normal, but don't stay in them and definitely don't go back. I remember one day my family had moved from Dixie Highway to Fern Creek. And if you know about the city, that's a huge change. That's a really big change, you guys. And I remember my dad just casually saying one time that it's going to take a while to learn the roads, to learn the back way places. Because when you grow up somewhere, it's, you know it like the back of your hand. It's familiar. But when you're in a new place, you are learning, and you can get lost even when you're using your GPS. It's going to take some time to learn the new roads. It's going to take more than a couple tries for you to practice this new way of living. Did you know that repeated behavior, your habits, actually form grooves on your brain? And that's why they become a habit. Your brain just goes, okay, I know this. This is familiar. I'm going to handle this situation this way. Literally creating grooves in your brain. So please have grace for yourself as you have to make conscious decisions to get out of those old ruts and start making new ones. And I know that while we're in here and we're hugging each other's necks, we're hearing sermons and we're worshiping, we are feeling the Spirit stirring in us. I know that's happening. And then something happens when we walk out that doors. The world is completely normal. You're going to get behind somebody who doesn't know how to drive. Your kids are going to be fighting in the back seat. And you're going to get home and those same old problems are going to be waiting for you. And let me tell you, the temptation is going to be to think that the change didn't take, that the change you felt wasn't real. You'll chalk it up to sensationalism and that what happened to service wasn't real. But I want to tell you, without a doubt, the spiritual things that you experience are far more real than you are giving it credit for. And the earthly things are temporary, but the spiritual is eternal. This is something that Jesus knew, and he kept in his sight as he walked through his life on earth. Jesus was able to walk in humility and confidence, to speak with grace and truth, because he knew who he was and he knew what he was here to do. And you will have so much more authority when you are firmly rooted in your true spiritual identity and purpose. We are going to have confidence in our authority if we are going to successfully carry out our mission to love Louisville to life. So I have two practical tips for you. The first one is that you need to set up reminders for yourself. Whether that be you have this daily routine of you put lotion on your feet every morning just to remind yourself that you are anointed, and you speak that over yourself. Or let me see here, hold on. I was supposed to get this out before I started. I grabbed some of the confetti from the day we announced the new name of the church, and I would love for you to come up and get some of this at the end of service. You put this piece of confetti in your car, on your mirror, wherever you need to remind yourself that you're living missionally today, wherever you go. And my second practical tip to you is to get to know the Father. If you want God to guide your life, you have to know what he sounds like. So maybe your next step is start listening to more worship music. Maybe it's using your time in the car to pray. Maybe it's grabbing a friend after service and saying, look, I don't know that much about the Bible. I've never really read it for myself before, but would you do a Bible plan with me? Would you do this devotional with me? God wants to speak to you, so spend some time with him. And I wanted to share with you guys, I have a faithful friend who obeyed the Lord when they felt like they were supposed to buy me a devotional. And this week, on Thursday, I had to present my teaching to the preaching team. And Friday morning, I wake up and I open up my devotional that my friend had given to me. And the title of this day's devotion was Move Forward. And it says, the time has come for you to advance. You have remained in this place for long enough. You have crossed over a bridge and found a pleasant path that leads deeper into my heart. Move forward, my child. As I promised Joshua, I promised you. Every place that you set your foot upon will be yours. New territory is waiting. A calling pulls you onward. Move forward, my child. He wants to speak to you. If you will give him time, he will just keep showing up. And at first you're gonna be like, is this him? But test him, just like Caleb did. Just try him. He's speaking, you guys. If you are feeling a stirring today, and a calling to move forward in your faith, I would encourage you to act on that today. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart and you're ready to take that first step into your faith, I would encourage you, we're gonna have a number up on the screen that you can text. And then I also want you to grab a member of our prayer team that'll be standing up here so we can celebrate with you. Do not let this pass you by. This is a big deal. Or maybe you've realized that God does have a good plan for your life and you are ready to accept the mission that God is calling you to. If you want to come to the altar as a way of physically saying, God, I'm laying down my life and it's open to you today, I would encourage you to come to the altar. A prayer team member will be available to pray alongside you and encourage you today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.